So it's an honor for me to be here. I love your pastor. We've gotten together a few times outside of the lead team, and it just, you know, when you see a young leader, I'm at that stage of life where I just love pouring into young leaders. And so that's what we're charged to do, aren't we? The older. I never thought I'm older, but I guess I'm older now. So it's an honor for me to just have a conversation with you today. So there's probably a screen of my family. I always bring my wife with me because she is literally the better half. We've been married for coming up on 34 years. And I had no idea how grandchildren would be a game changer. Now you that have little kids, you got a ton of kids in here. You're not thinking that. But we're at that stage where it's incredible, right? Can I hear an amen? All right, so it's my family. A couple of things just to start out. I don't tell you about myself to bring glory to me. I think sometimes it's relatable. I think sometimes you go, oh, okay, I can believe this guy. So one of the things that you don't know about me that I'll tell you is I really, really love the local church. And you know what's amazing? It's really messed up. It's been messed up for 2,000 years. How do I know that? Because you're here. I'm here. We're sinners. We fall short just about every day. And then we get to reconvene every Sunday, say, Lord, teach me what I need to learn for this week. And then you have life groups or Bible studies and so forth. So I love the local church. I love the local church. And I love pastors. So even when I, you know, I'm going to tell you my background. I was in law enforcement. Even when we would get new pastors, we'd always invite them in. Ken Nabby, our regional president, just told the story. I was with him the other day. He said, the first Sunday I'm at the church, Hershberger's invite us over. My son Grant, who is now 26, he's like three, jumps on this guy's lap. You know, so my kids have been exposed to really good pastors. And what an honor when a church has a good pastor. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So I have 24 years full and part-time in law enforcement. That's what God called me to do for a season. And then all of a sudden, I'm seeing some movement in my life, and God calls us to plant a church outside of Madison, Wisconsin, a little town called Lake Mills. Your Osceola is about 2,500. I think we were 4,500. So just a tad, not much, but a tad bigger. And we were there about 10, 11 years, and then God sent us to Panama to plant an international church. So we have 4 years of international ministry experience. And so I love now in this role as the executive director of church planting, I love encouraging churches to think, hey, if God can use a couple like Glenn and Susan, he can use anyone. And I'm not saying that out of false pride. I'm saying that's what God does. He uses the church to raise up. So when you have young people, I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. It's an amazing thing that you can start zeroing down into your young people to raise them up and plant seeds of future ministry. So Converge, we start and we strengthen and we send worldwide together. That's kind of what we do as Converge. Some of you know us under Baptist General Conference. How many of you know that phrase? How many of you know Swedish Baptist Convention? Okay, so you are really old-timers. How old is your church? Your church, 1890? How many of you here was for that? No, of course not. This church probably is not the original building, right? Or the original site. So what a tribute to Grace Church transitioning the decades and the generations. So we have 1,300 churches nationwide. We have 11 districts in Great Lakes, which covers Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula. It's the Great Lakes Conference. And with our network, we have 126 churches, and you're part of that. When we planted in 1999, we had 11 different Converge churches help us. Isn't that amazing? And that was 19 years ago. Man, where's that go? So let me transition now. Let me just open in prayer, and then we're going to transition to the real message, okay? Are you buckled up? Okay, let's do it. Father God, thank you for what you do in your local assemblies to proclaim your name above all names. And we know that we live in a time in history that people are not following you. And so thank you for this beacon, this light on the hill to shine light into Osceola. And I pray that this church would continue to be outreach-oriented, that they'd raise up these young men and women to go on the field, whether it's missionary service or church planting or pastorate, or just even serving kids in children's church. So, Lord, I pray that you're honored and glorified today. Above all else, that you are pleased what happens today with our attentiveness and the words that are spoken. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let me ask you a question. What do you desire? And there's probably a screen. There you go. There's probably a screen with a list. And those are just random words. But do we even wake up in the morning and think of these things? Hey, I desire this. I don't know what your life is. You know, there's things that I desire that subconsciously, you know, I kind of throw into my mind and my meditation and my prayer time. It's like, man, this is what I desire. But how many of these align with what God desires? I mean, when you get to the heart of it, what does God desire? And really, that leads me to the next question. Have you really contemplated what God desires? I mean, do you wake up on Sunday morning thinking, God, what do you desire for me today? And then in 24 hours, just short 24 hours, you're going to wake up tomorrow and go, Lord, what do you desire for me today? Whether it's school, business, all walks of life. What does God desire? And what if your heart isn't aligned with God? That's the thing that startles me. Does this startle you, church? Because we can go just a 1 or 2 degrees that we think we're understanding God's desire, but really in the end, we're really not. I love what Psalm 37:4 says. It's on the screen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That passage has really been an impact for my wife and I. Because she's a gardener, she loves getting dirty. You know, she says she likes dirt under her nails. That's kind of weird to me. But I'm a cyclist. I raced bicycles for 20 years, and that was my desire, you know, in a worldly sense, right? Is any of that wrong? No, but all of a sudden there's a realignment, there's a shift, and God began to change our heart. And really, that's how we ended up in Panama. And I don't have time to tell you a whole lot of stories about Panama. But you'll hear a couple of them. I think it's important that we engage God in such a way that we learn his heart and we do the things that God values. Do you believe that, church? I think that's why you come here. And when we begin to value the things that God values, I think we see great works from God. Like all of a sudden we see him moving because we're doing what he wants us to do. And God's desire, one of the things that I know, God's desire is that lost people would find their way back to him. Wasn't that the whole reason why Jesus came in the first place? I mean, we're on the tail end of March, just, you know, 3-4 months ago, we're celebrating Christmas. And we celebrate that. And that's the heart of John 3:16. How many of you young people know John 3:16? Can you say it off right now? Do it. Now, who taught you that, mom and dad? You taught yourself that? Awana? Awesome. We'll come back to that. Way to go. Because most of us adults went like, oh, I'm not going to embarrass myself, right? We have to have the heart of a kid. And if we could see what God sees, we would desire what he desires. If we see what he sees, we would do what he says. Amen? And God desires that we share him with others. And that's evangelism. That is evangelism. So I don't know if you know this name, Ed Stetzer. How many of you know that name, Ed Stetzer? Okay. So I was just with him, along with other leaders, on Friday. And this is what he said. For the first time in a, I don't know, the time frame, we planted more churches than churches closed. That's good news, right? Yeah. There were 3,500 churches in the U.S. that closed. 4,000 were planted. But what Ed Stetzer says, we're not evangelizing. A lot of the new church plants are just transfer growth. So what are we going to do, church, to change that trend? Plant more churches, but also be evangelistic. And really, evangelism, it's just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's just, that's what it is. And you do it out of your natural, everyday activities. So regardless of what you do, what your hobby is, that is where you have a platform. How many of you like to hunt? You like to kill things. That's great. How many of you like to fish? Okay. So now all of a sudden, can you get in a mindset, there are other guys in northern Wisconsin that like the same thing I do. It's not a stretch to develop a friendship with other hunters and fishermen. That's why I raced for 20 years. And an agnostic pharmacist from Whitewater, Wisconsin, this morning posted he's moving to Tucson. And we've had many conversations. He's an agnostic. He doesn't know if there's a God, but he leans towards there's not. And now he's moving to Tucson. Guess what? I was just in Tucson a couple months ago. I know there's some good churches, and I'm going to text him. I'm going to Facebook message him and say, hey, Peter, if you're looking for connection, maybe here's a place. See, God planted that relationship, and just like he planted this relationship here. Do you know that we're now friends? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you know that? Right? Yeah. And like, we're not going to end this relationship. It continues, whether I come back and speak with you again, or I die and we all see each other in heaven. The deal is, these are eternal relationships, but there's people outside that don't know that yet. Church planting is really the process of telling people about Jesus and taking the time to disciple them. It's not about conversions. I think there was a season in church planting years ago where it was about seeing people come to Christ, but then not raise them up to be true disciples of Christ. Can I hear an amen? Grace Church is about disciple making, right? You better. Right? Okay. Tim Keller states, a vigorous and continuous approach to church planting is the only way to guarantee an increase in the number of believers and is one of the best ways to renew the whole body of Christ. I told you about our little grandchildren, the five grandchildren we have, and I think we were at the hospital for all of them, weren't we? When a baby comes into a family, there's a dynamic, there's great energy, there's a focus, there's great joy. How many of you love little babies? How many of you want to work in nursery right now? But when a new believer comes in to a Sunday school or a small group, have you seen how the small group dynamic has changed? Like, there's new energy, there's like a reorientation in the small group, because that new believer has questions that we have neglected to even ask because we take things for granted. And so seeing a new person come in to faith helps your small group. It's like, oh, that's right. I had a Canadian in Panama. His name is Rick. Wasn't a believer, but he would help up with setup. We met in a movie theater, Sinopolis Movie Theater, Panama City. This is a beautiful worship setting. Your floor is clean. In Panama, you'd stick to the floor because they don't do a good job cleaning. And then there'd be cockroaches on the chairs. Yeah. Okay, that's not part of the story. So I meet with Rick, and he was wounded in Quebec by a Catholic priest. And we began to have these meetings and these questions. And one of the questions that he asked that I thought, and that's why we need to engage in people that don't know Christ. He said, okay, when Joseph and Mary were leaving and going to Egypt, and the Spirit of God, you know, came to them and said, you need to depart because Herod's going to kill you. Remember that story, kids? Remember that story? This is what Rick asked me. If God's so loving, why did all those other two-year-old boys die? Isn't that a great question? Like, it caused me to go, Rick, that's a great question, and I don't have an answer. Let me ponder, let me pray, let me think. And I did come up with maybe a hypothetical response that said, you know, if everyone knew about Herod coming to kill all these boys, there would be such a fervor in Bethlehem, right, that Jesus wouldn't get away. So again, we don't understand. I was just in Isaiah this morning. God's ways are bigger than our ways. His plans are bigger than our plans. And I tell you what, it's the same with the church plant when it comes to a dynamic of excitement, reaching people that would never step into a church. because of generational things, because they just take things for granted. But all of a sudden, you start meeting a different place, and it looks a little different. People are drawn to that. I love what Paul says in Romans 10:14. He says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Verse 15, it goes on, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? Key word, sent. We have to send people out. Churches should be sending agencies. Amen? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Friends, there are so many people that don't know Christ. You want a startling statistic? It's like 13% of Americans attend church. 13%. In Europe, it's 1%. 1%. There are 6,600 people groups, least reach, unengaged people groups that have never heard of the first coming of Christ. And we talk about the second coming of Christ. They've never even heard about Jesus. And friends, I've seen people come to faith in Christ that have not heard about Jesus, and they say, what took you so long to share this information? Church planting is a critical component of the Great Commission. Because of this, we're all called to the Great Commission. Do you ever get tired of hearing of the Great Commission? I never get tired of that. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. This is God's desire for us. And Jesus came and said to them, now remember, the disciples, they're not really grasping what is about to happen. And Jesus is telling them, this is your mandate. This is your calling. This is your working orders. And that's for all of us. All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Sometimes I think we neglect zeroing in on that. Let me read it again. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Isn't that great? That's what our purpose. That's what we should be about. Every day. Our desire is, how do I live this out? How do I engage that person at Quick Trip every day instead of just paying at the pump? How do I engage my Great Clip stylist that cuts my hair every 2 weeks or so? How do I engage her? Jackie's her name. The Great Commission is really our calling. And when Jesus said, go make disciples in Matthew 28, do you know what the apostles did? Church, you know what the apostles did? They planted churches. Look at Acts. That's what they did. God created us to know him and bring him glory. And one of the ways that we bring God glory is to make his salvation known. Regardless of if we're rejected, if we're mocked. I heard of a story. My daughter, Kirsten's got two daughters, and they have probably the nicest network of Christian friends. It's just amazing. I'm just so in awe of my kids being so farther down the tracks than we were at their age. She's going to be, what, 28 on Tuesday? So one of these young kids, I'm sorry, I shouldn't call them kids. One of their friends worked for a company, and the boss was having them travel and then sharing rooms, male and female. And Kyle went to his boss and said, I don't feel comfortable about this. I do not want to share a room with a woman. He got fired. Now, I think that's a little bit of persecution, but are you willing to stick your neck out and say, I'm going to be obedient to God regardless of the consequences? And I think that's sharing your faith on the school bus with your friends. You know, that is incredible. You know, eighth grader knows it just like that. Eighth grade's a big year. It's transition to high school. That's a big year too, right? Big 4 years. So one of the greatest church planters that we kind of zero in on is the Apostle Paul, right? And he engaged in many different communities and cultures, planted many growing churches. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you think, yeah, but man, God can't use me because you don't know what I did. You got this hidden sin, you got this hidden event in your life. A lot of us deal with that. It's called baggage. Baggage. And God came to lighten your load and to replace that baggage with freedom. And so when you look at Paul, he did not start out too well, did he? So a little background. He's in Acts 7, 58. He's present with the stoning of Stephen. Do you remember that? And we would call that in law enforcement party to the crime, because he stood there, did not do anything to prevent that crime, and held the cloaks of the Pharisees. And you know what Paul says of himself? This is the view of Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church." And so what I want to encourage you today is, when you think of how God qualifies the called, he's not looking for qualified people that have their act together, does he? Look at the apostles. They were rough, weren't they? Fishermen, right? 1 Corinthians 15:9. I love that he understands his unworthiness, his humility, and yet now we see this transition of early disciples. They hear about Paul's conversion. They don't believe him because he's got a reputation. We all have reputations, right? I believe you can change your reputation. Acts 9:31, it talks about how all of a sudden they began to welcome Paul into their fellowship. And it says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. Don't you love that? Is Grace Church being built up? I think so. And walking in fear, it goes on to say, of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. One of the things I know about God is he loves multiplication. He's told us throughout, be fruitful and multiply. And so that is his heart. That is his desire. In Acts 16:5, it says, so the churches were strengthened in faith, and they were increased, and they increased in numbers daily. I think that's the model. So is this church, and again, this is not shame or guilt, that's a question, is this church increasing in numbers? And what can this church do with strategy and an outreach focus to draw more people in? And I am very realistic. The model of the church used to be, if you build it, they will come. That's not true anymore. You got to go to them. You got to go to the school board meetings. You got to go to the rec league. You got to go to whatever you have in your community and begin to develop friendships. The good news is this, that God is not building his church through just pastors and church planters. Amen? Or full-time missionaries. He's going to use you. Every person in here is important. Every person in here is part of the body of Christ, and you have gifts and talents and skills that God wants to develop those. So we were praying just before I came out, and there's Pastor Mark's young boy, and you and the other elder that I spaced on the name, sorry. But we're brothers, so it's okay. I'm not sending you a Christmas card. Well, maybe I will. But he said something about, what did you say about the young men? Raising up the young men. So I just have to lean into this to tell you, you ever want to hear? Do you ever want to hear? Yeah, okay. If we're going to turn the tide and this pagan, far from God, I think we have to focus in on fifth and sixth graders and disciple them and plant seeds of positive fruitfulness down the road. I met a young mom that had a two-year-old little boy, and I said, oh, the wonderful twos, right? The power that we have to speak into these young kids, to say, I could see you being a missionary. Do you know that the percentage of female missionaries, single missionaries, it surpasses the guys on the field? When we were in Panama, we met so many females that were just single that said, I'm just going to do it. I don't know what it is about your gender, but way to go. You know, you're just like, I'm going to do this. And I think God's going to use you. I think God's going to use Grace Church. So as you drive around, I do a lot of driving. It's like, okay, where's the next community that we could start something? Consider these facts about church planting. This is from Tim Keller. New churches best reach new generations, new residents, and new people. So when we planted in Lake Mills, we went to the city government and got up all, we received the hookups. So, you know, the power, gas, water, that kind of thing. And they'll give this, well, I think they sell it to you. But could this church start reaching to the new visitors, the new residents that moved to town? That could be a ministry. Have you ever done that? Church? They used to call them the welcome wagon, right? This church could, like, set the stage for welcome wagon. New racial groups in the community. Do you have any diversity in this community? No, pretty white, right? I mean, it is what it is, but the truth of the matter is multi-ethnic. The number of people of color, different ethnic groups, are moving to Wisconsin and the UP. Like, it's amazing. So what are we going to do to kind of like break down some barriers? New racial groups in a community best reached by new that are intentionally multi-ethnic. And how do you become multi-ethnic? You develop relationship with them and then get them on the platform. Just read the Bible, maybe they're musical, that kind of thing. Look at this photo of Deanna DeLeon.
Okay.
Young woman, she's 32. We met her, came to our church. And because there was a new church that was reaching expats that spoke English, she's Panamanian and bilingual, you could tell that she was really troubled. Like, she was having nightmares. Her dad was murdered in 2009, and she was just lost. And when you get a chance to listen and ask good questions when you're doing evangelism, that is a powerful thing. You know, instead of just like, oh, here's the gospel, and you need to accept it. You know, turn or burn, right? Now you got to ask good questions. You got to listen to the heart. Long story short, we just prayed with her, and then my wife began to disciple her, and we stay in contact, you know, a couple times a month through WhatsApp, you know, or Skyping, that kind of thing. But if there wasn't a new church in this community, how would she have found the answers that probably she was looking for? Now, God is God, right? So I'm not saying that, but I just think the power of a new church. And she was invited by a friend. The second thing Tim Keller says is new churches best reach unchurched people, period. And again, there's a lot of statistics out there. Converge starts churches, but we also strengthen churches. So one of the things that Converge national and as well as our district is we have a church strengthening guide. There's strategies that you can do. There's some assessment tools that you can do to find out, hey, are we doing what we said we're going to do related to our vision and mission? And again, that's a service to you, all right? And I really think it's a mistake to choose between church planting and church renewal, because when you plant, it renews the church, the existing church, time and time again. And again, I don't have time to tell you the stories, but it is true. And if you're a Christian, a church planter has directly impacted you. Grace Church, was it called Grace Church in the 1890s? What was it called?
First Baptist.
First Baptist. When did you do the name change? 15. All right. This is your vision. Grace, you exist to glorify God and build his kingdom by strengthening families and reaching your community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, spreading his everlasting joy to all peoples. That's your vision. And just so you know, church planting is not Plan B of the Great Commission. By the way, how long do I get to go today?
As long as you want.
Oh, awesome. Well, don't ever say that to a pastor. I'm keenly aware of respecter of time. I'm almost done because I'm going to give you some next steps. In your bulletin, you can go the back page. How do you desire to be used by God in 2018?
Yes, I do.
I love that. I've got one person in this fellowship. Pastor Mark, you've got a lot of work to do. Okay, and the elders. Okay, I want to give you a couple of ways you can embrace God's desire to live on mission and be mobilized to go. These are the 2018 next steps for you. So each one, reach one. Say that with me. Each one, reach one. E-1-R-1. And if you could begin to think, okay, Yeah, we still have snow. We're probably not going to get any more snow, right? But now we're doing yard work, and I've got neighbors. What can you do to begin to reach out to your neighbors? People are lonely. People are looking for friends. And there is something to be said about the power of the invitation. Jerry is our neighbor to our south. Jerry has been driving milk truck since 1977. And I don't know if his wife died or got divorced, but he lives by himself. And so we invite him over for dinner. And I kind of approached, you know, the subject of Christianity, but it didn't go anywhere. It takes time. And I don't want anyone to think that we have an agenda. Like, I'm not going to be your friend if you don't come to Christ. It's terrible. Go across the yard. Go across your street. Go across the town. Reach another person for Jesus. In your natural ability, just sharing Christ. You know, Jesus crossed the cosmos for us. He left the glory of God to come here. I just think, man, what can I do? Grace, your mission to be a people that glorifies God by making disciples who go. You can only go if you're a disciple yourself. So again, ask yourself, Lord, am I a disciple? Am I willing to go? And it says, show and tell the good news of Jesus Christ. You have to live this out. That's what that's saying. That's your mission. I love Acts 1:8. Basically, you know, probably know this, but you will receive power. Say power.
Power.
This is not your power. It's Holy Spirit power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. So each one, reach one. Next one is each one, start one. Go plant a church. And maybe God wants to be a part of a team. That's why we have lead teams. Maybe God's going to put it on your heart. I don't know this area enough. I've only lived in Hudson. We've only lived in Hudson for about a year and a month or two. No, that's actually not true. Longer than that. But anyway, what is a community that has nothing? I'm driving some of these small towns. Now, maybe you're not starting a church here, but maybe you're starting a Bible study. Maybe you put something in the post office. Hey, we're gonna talk about Christianity, basic Christianity questions. Questions that you never feel comfortable asking in the church. But we're gonna have a meal and we're gonna just talk. Could work. I dream to plant in our region. We have how many counties in Wisconsin? How many? Do you know? This is terrible. What is going on with education? We have 72. We have 72. We have 697 communities in Wisconsin. And I'm just praying, Lord, we don't have converged churches in all 72 counties, but I'm praying. I believe in the power of prayer. If we say the average church, by the way, the average church is 90 in America, but I'm saying, let's just say, if we say a healthy, I don't want to even say that. Let's just say the church of 200. Osceola, do you know how many churches you need to reach every one in Osceola? You need 12. Do you have 12 churches? Do you have 12 evangelical, gospel-centered churches? Okay. Polk County, you have 44,205 people. You need 221 churches just to reach Polk County alone. I'm trying to give you the perspective like, oh, man. We have a lot of work to do, and your church is going to be used by God. If you'll say, hey, let's roll up our sleeves and do what we can. Next one is each one, raise one. Again, we have 126 churches in Converge Great Lakes. So when I say target the fifth and sixth graders, eighth graders, I mean, just like that, he's going to be off to college. Just like that. I'm telling you how fast it is, right, parents? Like, what the heck? They were just started high school. Now they're graduating? 126 churches. My prayer is that we are raising up pastors and global workers and missionaries. That means male and female. That's 625 missional workers in the next 5 years. I can't do this, but God can. In fact, if God is in it, you and I are going to need God to accomplish it. Amen? And that's why he gets all the glory. It's not about us, ever. You started out talking about that this morning, right? So we are to make disciple makers. And then each one send one. That means to give financially. You know, one of the things that I can tell you is we've had to raise a lot of support over the years. This is the one thing I can tell you. God is so faithful, and we are so provided for in this country. The other thing is we don't take it with us. Now, you need to be smart, but at the end of the day, I don't want to get to heaven and go, man, I wish I would have given more. And I don't want that for you either. So support a missionary, support a church planter. It doesn't have to be a lot. I told a church planter who had just launched Stew in Baldwin. And they don't have a mission. They don't have a mission board or team or anything like that. And we were friends. And I said, Stu, you just launched your church. Why don't you just start supporting us at $50 a month? Can you do that? Oh, yeah, I can do that. And do you know what a blessing that was to receive any kind of support from our local churches? Give generously, give faithfully, for God so loved the world that he gave his best and only. And we all need to be faithful to sacrifice and be generous. The next one is each one pray for one. You know, just like you didn't know me before you walked in the doors, now you have a friend and a brother in Christ. You probably don't know Diane Rindall, but she lives in Cambridge, Wisconsin. And she prayed for 11 years that there would be a church. She prayed for 11 years faithfully. And when we launched the church in Lake Mills, 6 miles north of her, she reminded me, God is so faithful. So our time is not God's time, right? Look at this guy. Look at this guy. He just celebrated his 1 year birthday in Christ. March 8th, I prayed for Peter. His wife and 2 daughters came to Real Hope. I prayed for him for 17 years. And I got to tell you, not me. The whole church, the Real Hope, was praying for this man. And I tell you, what he has taught me is never look at a person as a project. Just be faithful and unwavering in your commitment and faith to Christ. His wife later told me after he accepted Christ, she said, Glenn, you're the only man that never gave up on him. That hits me hard because he's got some dad issues. Some of us have father issues. I just love that guy. And I sent him a text this week. I said, oh, I'm sorry I missed your birthday. March 8th, 2017. Anyway, remember Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let's stand for a closing prayer. Lord, thank you that you are greater than anything. That if we have you, we have everything. Thank you that this church isn't our church. It is your church. And thank you that I think of not only do you own cattle on 1,000 hills, you know, you own all the hills. And how do we be used by you to be mobilized to go, to get out of our comfort zone, to say that clerk at Quick Trip needs Christ, or that school teacher just needs to know that we're praying for her or him. So Lord, would you help us to think out of the box and to reorient our thinking when it comes to evangelism and church planting and church strengthening? Help us to have your heart for the lost. I think of friends that I know that don't know you, and I think of Billy Graham. What an amazing legacy, and the honor that he received that I'm sure he didn't want to receive, and the testimony that he gave. And then I think of Stephen Hawkins, who just 21 days after Billy Graham, and one's in heaven and one probably is not in heaven. And I don't know if we think about that. There's a whole lot of lost people in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our community of Osceola. So Lord, help us. I pray that 2018, as we finish strong, I pray that we would have great stories of how you worked in and through this church. And Lord, I love what Philippians 1, 4 to 7 says. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become more effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, brother, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Lord, I pray that that is said of each one of us here today. We give you honor and praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.